Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Thank you so much, Pastor D, for that very, very kind introduction. Good morning, everyone. Ah, you're definitely more awake than the 9 o'clock services. So I think that we're off to a better start already, which is great. But it's so good to see all of you in church this morning. As Pastor D said, my name is Sadara, and I have the immense privilege of speaking to you for the rest of our time here. He also mentioned that I did move here in January from cold England to sunny Australia. And I moved here after I married my very handsome husband, Dev. And I brought along some wedding pictures for you to see, because who doesn't like to see wedding pictures, right? So yeah, there's one. Oh, we're very close there. Okay. There's another one, and I think there's one more. Yeah, we were all very cold when we took this this picture, because the winters in England are definitely not like our Perth winters, let me tell you that much. So I find it an extreme honor to be able to share God's word with you this morning. We are in the middle of a series called I Choose, and Pastor John Atkinson, who's the young adults pastor here at The Rocks, he did such a great job kicking us off last week. And I'm going to be continuing in that series. But before I go any further, let me add my welcome to you if you are new here. If this is your first time at The Rocks Church, then we want to say a massive welcome to you. You know, there's a slogan in our church that we're really passionate about. In fact, we're so passionate about it that we hung it on a banner and we put it on the fence. And it says, "No perfect people allowed." And so if you're here and you're looking at all the people around you, well, let me tell you that we're all a bunch of very imperfect people. And so whoever you are and whatever you've done or whatever you haven't done or whatever you think you should have done, we want you to know that you're not alone. We're all in the same boat. We all need this incredible grace that we found in Jesus Christ to be able to live our lives. So we hope you feel at home here, and we hope you know that you're so welcome with us. I also want to take this opportunity to welcome our podcast listeners and our YouTube viewers. Wherever you're joining us in the world, we're so glad that you could be with us this morning. So let's get started. So week two in the series, I Choose. And John last week was talking about choosing discipline over regret. So not sacrificing what you want most for what you want now. And if you missed that message, it was a great message. You can catch up with it on our podcast. But this morning, I'm continuing this series, and I'm going to be talking about choosing surrender over control. Choosing surrender over control. But before we go any further, I'd like to pray. So why don't you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so much for your incredible love. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are close to us, God. Thank you that you speak to us consistently and constantly. And this morning, Father, I believe that you have a message for us. And I pray, Father God, that my words would fall to the ground, but Holy Spirit, that you would make your words life-breathed, God-powered, grace-carrying words of life to just take root in our hearts, God, and just to complete the work for which you have sent it. And Father, we know that you are the God of miracles, and we just bring the Fremantle Dockers before you this morning, and we just pray for a miracle. And everybody who agrees with me said, amen. Amen. That last little bit was for my father-in-law. He's a big footy fan. I know nothing about football, but there we go. I was reading something the other day, and I came across this quote by a guy named John Campbell, okay? And this is what it said. It said, "We have to let go of the life we have planned so as to accept the one that is waiting for us. Sometimes in life, we have to let go of the life that we have planned so as to accept the one that is waiting for us." And you know, this got me thinking, because I don't know what you're like, but me, I kind of like things to go a certain way. And usually that way is my way. Thanks, Claire. That's my best friend from England. She is nodding vigorously. Now, I think you're all probably far too spiritual for this, but me, I like to be in control. I like to be in charge of my life. Someone else agrees with me, too. And I like this so much that before I met my husband, Dev, 2 years ago, I knew exactly what kind of man I wanted to marry. down to the T. I knew exactly. And I made this into a little list, and I gave it to God, and I said, God, I've kind of done your work for you, so here you go. I'll just have 1, 2, 3, and 4. Thank you very much. Do you want to know what was on my list? Okay, about 3 people. Do you want to know what was on my list? That's better. There we go. We're getting there now. Okay, number one. Here's what was on my list. Number one. Please, God, I want to marry someone white. It's true. It might be shallow, but it was on the list. Because I wanted mixed-race, caramel-colored children who kind of turn olive and golden when they go in the sun. It was a dream that I had. And obviously, you've all seen Dev. And well, he ain't white. Number two on my list was, God, he has to live in the same city as I do. Because I am not about this long-distance life. And when I met Dev, he was here in Australia, and I was living back in good old England. Number three on my list, I was like, God, I want my husband to be super, super tall, like 6'4" kind of tall. Well, obviously, you've all seen Dev, and well, he's taller than me, though, so I'll give him that. And number four, I said, God, I want him to be a really mature, seasoned Christian. And when I met Dev, he was just at the beginning of his faith journey with God. You see, guys, I had a plan. And it has not worked out the way that I had planned. And you know what? Thank God. Because Dev is far better and far greater than any list that I could have compiled, any person I could have imagined, or any person I could have created in my mind. He's like my forever love and all-time bae and all of the mushy things you want to put in there. Sometimes in our lives, we have to let go of the life we have planned in order to accept the one that is waiting for us. You see, I had a plan in my head. I had planned a specific type of person, but there was someone better waiting for me, and I had to let go of the person I had created in my mind to be able to accept the one that was right in front of me. You know, we make choices about our lives all the time, big, small, important, frivolous, lots of choices. And that's why I love this series that we're in the middle of called I Choose, because it impacts all of us. We all make choices all the time. But the thing is that while some of us make these choices, we also want to control the outcome of these choices. Because if you're really honest, like me, you all want to control at least some part of your life. For some of us, it's our kids. We'll micromanage their lives until they're 40, hashtag Asian parents. Or for some of us, it may be at work. We want to delegate work, but then we hover just to make sure that they get it exactly right. Or for some of us, we're backseat drivers. Any husbands or wives that are backseat drivers? Oh, you missed that turn. Oh, do you know that the speed limit is this? Do you? Or for some of us, it's our relationships or our finances. Or for some of us, it might be our parents or our grandchildren or our family. Whatever that looks like for you, we all have some area of our life in which we want to exert control. And the problem with that is this, that we can't always control the things we want to control. Now, that might seem very obvious to you, but then why do all of us spend so much time trying to anyway? You see, is having a plan bad? Is having a desired outcome bad? Not at all. Except for if you think that that is the only way it must go. Except for if you think that is the only way that it can work out. Because you know as well as I do that life doesn't always work out the way you plan. Life doesn't always work out the way you want. There's a verse in the Bible in Proverbs 3, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Submit to him in all your ways, and he will make your path straight." Can I be honest with you this morning? I hate this verse. I really do. Because I find it so difficult to live my life like this. Trust in the Lord with how much of my heart? All my heart? Not quarter, not half, all, okay? And lean not on my own understanding. But I love my own understanding. I love my own logic. I find it so difficult to live like this because I have to then let go of the control that I want to have. I have to let go of me being in charge. I have to let go and think there might be a better outcome than the one I have in my head. And I have to take that control, and then I have to surrender it to God and trust that as I submit to Him in all my ways, as I surrender to Him in all my ways, that He, not I, will make my path straight. You see, because control says that I am in charge. Surrender says that God is in charge. Control says that I am in charge. Surrender acknowledges that God is. And it's difficult to live like this. I find it difficult to live like that. But I made a choice a few years ago that this is the only way that I would live. Because over the course of my very short life, I found that there is no better life than the surrendered life. But have you wondered, why is this so difficult? Why is it so hard to give up control? Well, you see, our desire for control, well, it started all the way back in the very beginning. If you read in the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible, you see that God creates the world. He creates the whole world, and then He creates Adam and Eve, the first humans. He creates mankind. And He says, here's the whole earth, Adam and Eve. He creates a garden for them full of beautiful fruit trees, and He gives them this whole earth, and He says, I want you to rule, I want you to reign, I want you to multiply, I want you to prosper, and I want you to thrive. Sounds like a great life. But there was one rule. Just one, but there was one rule. And He said, you know, there's a tree in the middle of the garden, and that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't want you to eat from the fruit of that tree. That's the only rule. Because you see, the tree of knowledge and evil, He knew that if they ate from it, it would shatter their innocence, and they'd be exposed to the possibility of evil, and He wanted to protect them from that. But here's what happened. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. You see, this is the moment when sin first entered the world, with Eve's first act of disobedience. But her first act of disobedience was also the first time that she took what? Control. You see, up until that time, God was in charge. Up until that time, God was calling the shots. Up until that time, God was being obeyed. But as soon as she took that piece of fruit, she took that control back from God. She took those shots back from God. She now thought she knew better than God, because that's what control ultimately says. It says, I want to be God. And that's the very thing the devil tempted her with. He said, oh, you can just eat from that tree. That's okay. You won't die. God just doesn't want you to be like Him. God just doesn't want you to be like God. But you know the sad thing about all of this? The sad thing about all of this is this. That the very thing that He tempted her with was the very thing that was already hers. Because you see, in the beginning, in Genesis 1:26, when God creates mankind, when God creates humankind, when God created Adam and Eve, He said, let us make mankind in our image. Let us make them in our likeness. In whose likeness? God's likeness. Eve was already like God. Eve was already made in His image. And He gave her the power and the authority to rule over the earth, over the fish, over the beasts, over the birds, with Him. But you see, the devil's crafty, and he's still cunning to this day. And he takes the gifts of God that are already ours, he distorts the truth just a little bit, and he tempts us into sin. Do you notice that they had a whole garden? They had a whole garden, but they focused on one tree. They had the entire blessing of God, but they only focused on the boundary. How many of us live our lives like that? The abundant blessing of God, but all we focus on is the boundary. See, control says that I want to be God. Surrender lets God be God. Because trust me, you don't want to be God. Because what you control, you have to sustain. Whatever you control, you also have to sustain. How exhausting is it living like that? Trying to juggle everything, trying to be responsible everything, trying to worry about everything, trying to fix everything. But when you yield, when you surrender to God, you allow Him to fix it for you. You allow Him to work on your behalf. You allow Him to make your path straight. Okay, well, that sounds good. How do I do that? It's all well and good on Sunday, isn't it? We come and we raise our hands and we sing some songs and we make decisions, and then Monday comes, and then, well, Tuesday comes and Wednesday comes after that, and Sunday seems a very long time away. So what do we do when we're tempted to take control back? I love Pastor Craig Rochelle. He's an amazing pastor in the States, and he says that when we're tempted in these times to take some control back, that we should stop and ask ourselves some questions. And so I've kind of adapted them for us this morning. And if you're taking notes, well, you might want to jot some of these down. So, question number one. Is it my concern? Is it my concern? You know, some of us are trying to control things, and some of us are trying to fix things that are not even our problem. We need to stop trying to fix our neighbor's kids and stop worrying about our grandfather's friend's dog. Like, they can take care of themselves. Is it my concern? Is this my business? Really simple, but really profound. Question number two. Is it worth my concern? You know this thing that I'm carrying, this thing that I'm trying to control? Is it worth my energy? You know, some of us, we're trying to control things that in the grand scheme of things really don't matter. Oh, my husband, he never squeezes a tube of toothpaste, right? You know, my kids, well, they always mess up those cushions on the sofa. The pastor definitely did not shake my hand this morning. My friend did not like my Instagram photo. Well, she'll be hearing about that. We worry about stuff. We try and fix stuff and control stuff that in the grand scheme of things is not really worth our energy. Question two, is it worth my concern? Question three, is it within my control? You know this thing that I'm legitimately concerned about? Can I do anything about it? And if I can, have I done everything that I can about this thing? Now, some of us so far have been loving this message because surrender looks a lot like, well, I can do what I want and God will swoop in and He will sort the rest. Not quite. Because surrender doesn't relinquish responsibility. Surrender doesn't relinquish responsibility. You know, this is the story of my life, by the way. If you want to lose weight, you can't sit in front of the TV, eat Ben and Jerry's for breakfast, never move an inch, and then go, God, I'm praying to you, I am submitting to you. And I believe, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, that as I submit to you, you are going to make my part straight. And while you're making my part straight, can you also make my belly straight? Hallelujah, Jesus, we praise your name. Doesn't work like that. Have you done everything that is in your power to do? Have you done everything that is within your control to do? And after you've done everything that you can do, then you leave the rest to God. Question three, is it within my control? Question four, is it for God alone? Is it for God alone? It's exactly what we've been saying. I've done everything that I can do. I've done everything in my power that I know how to do. And now, God, I'm trusting it to you. Now, God, I'm letting it go and I'm surrendering it to you. God, I've done everything I can with my kids. I've parented them as best as I could. And now, God, I'm surrendering them to you. God, this relationship, I've done everything that I know how to do with it. And God, now I'm surrendering it to you. And when we surrender, when we yield to God, we have to truly surrender. Some of us surrender like this. One hand off, one hand on. Here you go, God. No, God, no, take it. God, it's all yours. No, take it, God. Take it, God. No. When we surrender, we truly have to let go. Have to take our hands off. Let go and let God. Question 4, is it for God alone? The greatest example we have of surrender, the greatest model of surrender that we have is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Do you know this morning, maybe no one's ever told you this before, but do you know this morning that God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross in your place and in my place so that our sins would be wiped away forever? Do you know that we don't carry the price, we don't have to pay the penalty, we don't have to pay the punishment of sin anymore because Jesus died on a cross so that we wouldn't have to? We didn't have to pay the price, but someone had to, so he did. And on the night before he was crucified, he's found praying on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he sees the excruciating death that he's about to suffer, and he calls out to his Father in Luke 22, and he says, Father, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. God, here is my desire. I don't want to die. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to have pain. But I trust you. I trust in your infinite wisdom. So not my will, but let your will be done. Here's our model of surrender. Here's the model of a surrendered prayer, of a surrendered heart, of a surrendered life. Here is my desire, God, but not my will, but yours be done. Because true surrender actually lets go of the outcome. True surrender means that you trust God, it's going to work out okay, even if it doesn't work out the way you asked. True surrender means you let go of the outcome. Febby, you can come up for me, please, and start playing. Here's the thing. The real question about all of this is not, can I surrender, can't I surrender? The real question is actually Eve's first silent question that she didn't ask out loud, but was there. You know, when we read in Genesis 3 a short while ago, we find the serpent saying, did God really say you can't eat from that tree? And she says, well, yes, God really did say we can't eat from that tree because if we do, we'll die. And he says, well, no, you won't die. God just doesn't want you to be like him. And here's the kicker. In verse 6, it says, after listening to all of this, it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. What happened? In that moment, Eve looked around at her circumstances. She saw the garden, and she saw the tree, and she saw the fruit, and she saw what she thought the fruit could give her. And she mistrusted God's intention towards her. In that moment, Eve mistrusted God's intention towards her. She thought that he was withholding something good from her. And so her silent question is he good? Is God good? And so many decades and generations later, it's also the same question that we ask. Maybe not out loud, but maybe in the depths of our hearts where we say, is God good? Is he really good? Because we can't ever surrender anything to God if we don't know truly, truly in the depths of our heart that he is, in fact, good. You know, for some of us, and legitimately, we look at the circumstances of our lives and we say, well, if God is good, it wouldn't have worked out that way. If God was truly good, if he wanted what was best for me, then things would have worked out very differently. And we forget that this very sin that we're talking about, this very sin, that was the point at which sin entered the world. And we now live in a fallen world. God's design for us was never to have pain, never to have suffering, never to have illness. But because of the first sin, we now live in a fallen world. And there are forces at work that are not just God's and that are not just good. But we keep blaming God. Because we've bought into a vending machine kind of Christianity. And we think God is like Santa Claus. We must do something good and we'll get a present at Christmas. If we keep following all the rules, if we keep all the laws, then surely God must make our lives go the way we ask. But God is not Santa Claus. And he never promised us a trouble-free life. In fact, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. He never promised you a trouble-free life. So yes, there might be pain. Yes, there might be suffering. Yes, there might be things that happen to us that we can't understand and we don't understand. But what he did promise us was his presence. What he did promise us was himself. I will be with you, Jesus said, even to the end of the age. Before we can truly surrender anything, we must first believe that he is truly good and that he is infinitely faithful. Let me leave you with this. Some people ask the question, so, well, why did God put the tree in the middle of the garden in the first place? Well, if he didn't want Adam and Eve to eat from the tree, why did he put it in the garden? And he didn't even put it in a corner. He put it in the right in the middle. Why did he put the tree in the garden in the first place? Was he setting them up to fail? Not at all. You see, God had to give Adam and Eve a choice. God had to give Adam and Eve a choice because love is not true love in the absence of choice. Surrender isn't really surrender if you can't choose it for yourself. And choice means that you have to have options. So Adam and Eve, they had to have the option of surrendering to God or not. They had to have the option of loving God or not. They had to have the option of trusting God or not. They had to have the option of eating the fruit or surrendering to God, of taking control or choosing surrender. They had to have the option because love is not love in the absence of choice. And so surrender really isn't surrender unless it comes from a position of free will. And today, right now, you have a choice. You get to choose. And don't you see? Decades and decades later, and generations later, we're still asking the same questions. We're still faced with the same choices that Adam and Eve were faced all those many thousands of years ago. Is he good? Is he faithful? Do I choose surrender or do I choose control? Same battles, thousands and thousands of years later. And so this morning, the choice before you is the same one again. But this time, to do with your life. Do you eat the fruit or do you submit to God? Do you take control or do you choose to surrender to the infinitely good God? And it's only your choice to make. No one else can make it for you. And we're going to go back into a song in just a moment. And my prayer for us is this, that as Matt and the team lead us, as we sing the words of this song, that we'll allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and actually move us from the inside out, that there would be a shift that takes place on the inside, that from today, as we walk out of these doors, that something would have changed, something would have shifted, something would have moved inside of us. So I'm going to invite us all to stand. And come on, let's worship God and believe that he'll speak words of his surrender into our heart.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.